Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Elbit Systems Ltd. second quarter 2012 results conference call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded August 14th, 2012. I would like to remind everyone that the safe harbor language contained in today's press release also pertains to all content of this conference call. If you have not received a copy of today's release and would like to do so, please call CCG Investor Relations at 1-646-201-2946. I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Kenny Green of CCG Investor Relations. Mr. Green, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and good day to everyone. On behalf of all the investors, I would like to thank Elbit Systems management for hosting this call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Josef Ackerman, Elbit Systems President and CEO, and Mr. Yossi Gaspar, Elbit Systems Chief Financial Officer. Yossi will begin by providing a discussion of the financial results of the quarter, followed by Josef, who will talk about some of the significant events during the quarter and beyond. We will then turn the call over to the question and answer session. Before we begin, I would like to point out that the safe harbor statement in the company's press release issued earlier today also refers to the contents of this conference call. With that, I would like to hand the call over to Yossi. Yossi, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Kenny. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm sure that many of you may be interested in the company's announcement of yesterday regarding Josef Ackerman's decision to retire at the end of March 2013. Josef will comment on that at the end of his remarks. Regarding the results for the quarter, we will provide you with both our regular GAAP financial data as well as certain supplemental non-GAAP information. You can find all the detailed GAAP financial data as well as the non-GAAP information in today's press release. I will highlight and discuss some of the key figures. Revenues were $676.4 million in the second quarter of 2012 as compared to $691.6 million in the second quarter of 2011. In terms of revenue breakdown across our areas of operation in the quarter, Airborne Systems was 36%, Land Systems was 10%, C4ISR was 39%, Electro-Optics 11%, and the rest was 4%. These are similar percentages to those of last year, with a slight increase in Airborne Systems and decrease in Land Systems. On a geographic basis, the United States was 30% of revenues, Israel 16%, Europe 19%, and the rest of the world made up our largest region as 35%. We do not see the quarterly fluctuations in our revenue breakdown as indicative of any long-term trends. However, on a year-over-year basis, there has been a trend of increasing sales in Asia Pacific and Latin America regions where the defense budgets are growing, and there was a decrease in sales in Israel as some of the larger projects, such as the Digital Army program, are in a transition phase. For the second quarter, our gross margin was 28%. The gross margin in the second quarter of last year was 29%. Although we are experiencing increased competition, which leads to pressure on this parameter, due to efficiency improvements in the company, we were able to sustain this level of profitability. Operating income in the second quarter was $42.1 million, representing a 6.2% margin. Operating income in the second quarter of last year was $52.6 million, or a margin of 7.6%. Our non-GAAP operating margin was 8% of revenues, compared to 9.7% in the second quarter of last year. In terms of operating expense breakdown during the second quarter, our net R&D expenses for the quarter were at similar absolute levels to those of the second quarter of last year, 8.2%, compared with 8% a year ago. Marketing and selling expenses were 8.9% of revenues in the quarter, compared with 8.3% in the second quarter of last year. Our G&A expenses in the quarter were reduced to 4.7% of revenues, compared with 5.1% of revenues in the second quarter of last year. This improvement is due mainly to general efficiencies, synergies realized from integration of various businesses acquired in recent years. Financial expenses for the second quarter of 2012 were $2.3 million compared with $9.4 million in the second quarter of last year. The decrease in financial expenses relates primarily to exchange rate fluctuations in our currency hedging activity. The affiliates, which we do not consolidate, contributed $3.8 million to the net income in the quarter compared to $2.7 million in the second quarter of last year. Consolidated net income attributable to Elbit Systems shareholders for the second quarter was $38.3 million, or a net margin of 5.7%. This compared with a net income of $38.9 million, or net margin of 5.6% in the second quarter of last year. Diluted net earnings per share for the second quarter were 90 cents, same as for the second quarter of last year. Our non-GAAP net income was $48.2 million, or 7.1%, compared with $50.5 million, or 7.3% in the second quarter of 2011. Non-GAAP EPS in the quarter was $1.14, compared with $1.16 for the second quarter of last year. Operating cash flow for the first half of the year was $56.2 million compared to $23.3 million for the first half of last year. The backlog of orders as of March 31, 2012 was over $5.47 billion, a slight increase from backlog at the end of the prior quarter, which stood at $5.45 billion. Approximately 76% of the backlog relates to orders outside of Israel. Approximately 73% of the company's backlog as of June 30, 2012 is scheduled to be performed during the second half of this year and during next year. Finally, the board of directors declared a dividend of 30 cents per share for the second quarter of 2012. That ends my summary, and I shall now turn the call over to Mr. Ackerman.
Thank you, Yossi, and hello, everybody. In general, we are pleased with the overall results of the second quarter. While revenues were slightly below those of the last quarter, net margins were slightly improved without sacrificing our investment in research and development and marketing. Our backlog improved slightly over last quarter, and the general trend has been a return to incremental improvements. Most importantly, as you have seen in our result today, much of this revenue growth came from outside of our traditional markets like Israel, Europe, and the United States. Just like last quarter, an increasing portion of revenues came from the Latin America and Asia Pacific markets. These markets all tend to have growing defense needs and budgets that are on long-term increase. We are increasingly focusing on these global markets as we believe over the coming years there will be a shift from defense spending in Western markets to a more balanced global spending picture. Over the past few months, we have announced a number of projects in global regions outside of the U.S. and Europe. In South Korea, for example, we won a contract value at $62 million over 4 years to upgrade the Korean Air Force C-130 transport aircraft with advanced electronic system, including the conversion of the existing analog cockpit to a glass cockpit using our digital flight displays. In Latin America, we won a contract value at many tens of millions of dollars over the next 2 years to supply mixed fleet of Hermes 900 and Hermes 450 unmanned aircraft systems. In Israel, we were awarded a $30 million follow-on contract by the MOD to integrate F-15 training capabilities into the Israeli Air Force Mission Training Center that we are establishing for the Israeli Air Force. But our successes is not just limited to these growth regions. Even in Europe, where austerity seems to be the main theme these days, we still see spending increases in key electronic defense areas such as UAS, C4ISR, and cybersecurity. In Finland, for example, we were awarded an initial contract to supply advanced dismounted soldier systems. The products include enhanced observation soldier equipment, comprehensive situation awareness software, cutting-edge combat soldier wearable radio and computer systems intended to enhance the operational capability of the Finnish Army in the areas of reconnaissance, terrain dominance, and dismounted soldiers. We also won a $160 million contract in another European country to supply unmanned aircraft system over the next 2 years. This marks another milestone in the chain of our U.S. contract awards. Overall, we remain very active. While we are still doing much business in the Western world, we are highly involved in growth regions, and we expect to reap the benefit in the coming quarters and years. I would like to stress now that I continue to believe that in 2012, we will begin to see the impact of our ongoing efforts over recent years to grow our businesses while increasing the efficiency of operations. And our bottom line result in the second quarter indicates that we are successfully in this regard. And finally, before we move to the Q&A sessions, I would like to talk to you about my decision that was announced yesterday to step down after 16 deeply rewarding years as President and CEO of my company. This is not yet my farewell, as I will remain in my position until April 1st of next year, so I still have two more quarters to report our results to you. After that, my intention is to remain active on the board of the board and to continue to contribute from my experience for the benefit of the company. One of my goals over the next 6 months will be to make sure that the handover process will occur smoothly. I am pleased that the board has already decided that Bezalel, nicknamed Bootsy Machlis, will be taking over my position as President and CEO starting April 2013. Bootsy Machlis joined Elbit in 1991, and he is an Executive Vice President. He has served in several managerial positions relating to Elbit Systems land and C4I activities, and for the last 8 years has led the Elbit land and C4I division. During his tenure, Elbit Systems land and C4I operations have grown significantly and recorded numerous achievements both in Israel and abroad. I'm certain that Bootsy will be successful in leading Elbit Systems and take it to new heights. And with that, we can open now the call for Q&A. Operator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Daniel Meron of RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, Yossi. Yossi, I wanted to share my appreciation to your great work over the last 16 years and the long tenure you had with Elbit. I think, and I share what a lot of investors and people think, you did a great job in taking this company to the next few levels over your tenure here. Thank you.
Thank you.
My first question as it relates to the business is if we can get a little bit more regional color on the dynamics that you're seeing in Israel, Western Europe, and the U.S. And also, you had, I think, Yossi, in your prepared remarks, you talked about several wins, even in the, a little tighter markets like Europe where you have wins. If you can share what helps you drive that competitive advantage to win those projects as they come. Thank you.
Yeah, we do see, and it's clear to everybody, some slowdown in defense spending in Israel, in Europe, and to some extent in the United States. However, the business that Elbit is at, like defense electronics, UAVs, C4ISR, electro-optics, intelligence, in that segment, it's the other way around. We see a growing requirement for that. This is why, despite the decreasing defense spending in our area, not necessarily we see that, and this is the basis for our contract we won both in Israel, Europe, and United States. This is one side on business segment. On the other side, we already mentioned that since we foresaw, I would say, 7-8 years ago, that we should expect this kind of declining spending, we compensated that by making some investment in other areas like Asia Pacific and South America, and now we take advantage of that.
Is there any way to quantify where do you see the industry as a whole this year or for the next several years, and where do you see defense electronics within that? Just to give us some sense on the delta that we see here right now.
Yes, I think that we are going to see in the coming years one-digit decrease in defense spending, but we are going to see it flat in the defense electronics spending. We are not going to see a decrease spending in the defense electronic area.
Okay, gotcha. And I assume that Latin America, Asia Pacific are going to pull the rest of the markets upwards.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. And on the competitive side, what differentiates you, given those recent wins that you had, both I think in South Korea and also in Europe, and other wins, I think in Latin America as well. So what is where do you see your competitive advantage when you go into those contracts?
It's very obvious that when we go to those markets, we see two major advantages that we are bringing to the marketplace. One is operational experience, and second is technology. If you compare how much we invest in R&D to how much our competitors are doing, it shows, and we see the results. And when we come to Korea, when we come to Brazil, and we come to Europe, definitely, and we see that all over, that we are coming with much more advanced solution to our customers.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you, and good luck to you, Yossi, and to Mr. Machlis as he enters a new position.
Thank you. Again, we appreciate you saying that.
Thank you.
The next question is from Joseph Wolf of Barclays Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Just also echo thanks to Yossi for all your help with the investment community over the past few years that we've been looking at the stock. I guess I wanted to talk about, I guess also follow on, just the if you look at the competitive environment and the ability of the company to maintain its margins, I'm wondering if you could address the margin side or the balance between pricing competition given market conditions and the ability of the company to keep on maintaining or extracting cost savings on the gross margin side of the business.
Okay, yes. As I mentioned in my review previously, we did see some pressure on the margins during the last year because of increased competition. And that was also definitely reflected in our performance in the gross profit and operating profit levels. However, in parallel with that, we did two things. One, we did significantly improve our operations and cut costs in various areas, production and manufacturing, development, and so on. That's one thing. The other thing is that we did work on very long-term programs that do enable us to see improvements over a period of time, that efficiency is growing from various areas. Our competitive advantages, Mr. Ackman said, is by the end of the day, the understanding of the operational requirements and the technology. And even in today's very difficult markets, we still see many customers appreciating the added value that we bring from these two aspects and willing to pay for that in various environments. So coupling these two things, improving the basic products, making them more advanced, and improving our operations, by the end of the day, that is what will bring us the advantages and the improvement in the margins.
Just as a follow-up, if you think about R&D, and you mentioned in the remarks how important R&D was for the as part of the selling proposition, how do you balance R&D in the new spending environment? Because I think even electronics, which is not expected to decline, used to be expected to grow significantly.
It's Yossi. I'll elaborate on that. Yes, we have been investing in R&D quite a high number. But, you know, when we see a decrease in defense spending, it seems to be a disadvantage. But to some extent, it's also an advantage because customer and this new environment, sometimes they will, I would say, satisfy with good enough. So then, so they won't expect us to come up with the most state-of-the-art solution. And here might be ready to cut our R&D spending maybe by some points. And this will come back to the bottom line number.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Simon Morris of Citibank. Please go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Thank you for calling back. We will begin shortly. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. We will now hear from Simon Morris of Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. Sorry, just getting back to Israel and the Digital Army program that you're speaking about and the transition. Just to get an understanding, I mean, has it taken longer than you expected, the transition? And also, can you give some clarity over the impact which that's had on sales? I mean, if that had been back online, where would sales have been? Would it have been in line with previous quarters? And just understand how large that would have been.
Yes. The Digital Army program is a multi-year, multi-hundreds of millions of dollars program. And it goes on for many years. And we are getting sequentially purchase orders for follow-on brigades to be equipped with the right equipment. There was a little bit of delay for the in the sequence of contracting. Now we are under contract for the follow-on quantities, and it's in our backlog, and we expect that to continue into the future. We expect to be back on the regular levels that you have been familiar with for Israel revenues, probably somewhere toward the end of the year. Fourth quarter might be a good guess that will come back. The reason for that is just some logistics and so on. Nothing special. There is still need and a multi-year plan to continue to acquire that kind of equipment.
So for 2012, do you expect Israel to be in the 20-25% of sales range that it's generally been at, or the impact of the delays here, the sort of in the short term being a lower proportion of the company?
It will be in the between 20-25%.
Okay. Thank you very much. And just finally, I mean, just to clarify on cost cutting, maybe you mentioned it, maybe we just didn't hear it. I mean, are we expecting some more sort of significant cost cutting on the G&A and R&D side of things to what we've seen currently, or and have we seen most of it already?
We would say we differentiate between G&A and R&D. The R&D part is something that we see it more as investment into the future. And before we cut it, we look at that very thoroughly to make sure that we don't hurt our potential for growth in the future. G&A is the other way around. Whatever can be cut, we do that. So far, we have done more in the G&A area, less in the R&D area. It looks like that we have reached a point of equilibrium. We might go on in the future to continue to reduce some of these expenses, but it very much will depend on the business development of the company.
Okay. And just finally, so a bit further down, just on the cash flow side of things, We saw just a bit of a decrease in payables this quarter. I meant it could just be a seasonal thing, or are you seeing difficulty in terms of payment terms with customers also as a pressure on the company? Are they asking for better payment terms, or is that maybe just a seasonal impact for the quarter?
Well, it's a fluctuating situation. There might be a quarter this way, there might be a quarter that way. I think in general, we cannot take anything for the long term that is significantly different from what we experienced.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. The next question is from Dov Rosenberg of RBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. I just have one quick question. Just on Forex impacts, I understand it helped below the line items this quarter. I was wondering if you expect impact forward if considering you have a high employee base in Israel, et cetera, do you have to higher hedging expenses or any other impacts you see?
We continue with the same strategy of hedging like we did for several years, and that is, I would call it a rolling carpet of our exposure in the shekel versus the dollar and for the next 12 months. And that's the situation now as well. Of course, on an absolute basis, when the shekel is devaluated, then the company has some advantage on that aspect, but we manage that on an ongoing basis.
Okay. And taxes should return to the low double-digit rates?
Taxes, yeah. We expect that to be the more representative number, double-digit, like we were in the past.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
There are no further questions at this time. Before I ask Mr. Ackerman to go ahead with his closing statement, I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available 2 hours after the conference ends. In the U.S., please call 1-888-326-9310. In Israel, please call 03-925-5900. And internationally, please call 972-3-925-5900. A replay of this call will also be available at the company's website, www.elbitsystems.com. Mr. Ackerman, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yeah, I would like now to thank all of our employees for their hard work. To everyone on this call, thank you for joining us today and for your continued support and interest in our company. Have a good day and goodbye, everybody.
Thank you. This concludes the Elbit Systems Ltd. second quarter 2012 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.